Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams. Fish.
Aye.
Leonard. Saltzman.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks, prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Item 807, request of Mary Frances Hunter to address council regarding Selwood Combined Sewer Overflow Project.
Could you repeat the name, please?
Mary Frances Hunter.
Please read the next.
Item 808, request of Pedro Ferbal Ascarate to address council regarding siting a sewer pump station in Selwood. He called and is not coming.
Okay.
809, request of Lauren Murray to address council regarding youth transition from shelters to the streets.
Thank you for being here. When you speak, state your name for the record and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Lauren Murray. I'm 21 years old, and I have two amazing children. Lila's 2.5 years old, and Noah's 8 months. I've been homeless off and on for 3 years. In 2006, I begged DHS to take my baby girl, who was then 9 months old, because I was living behind a dumpster with her. Since then, not much has changed. I have been a client of New Avenues for Youth since 2006 as well. About 2 months ago, they finally told me I aged out, and my case had to be closed. I couldn't have asked for better timing, since the protest was going on right here in front of City Hall. Not knowing any people, I wandered over here with myself and my backpack and joined the protest that day. My caseworker did not help me to get into any adult shelters, and being an AFI kid, I didn't know how to live the adult street life. In fact, we aren't even allowed to go to Road Warrior for 8 months after aging out. I was told that this was so we would have to suffer the adult street life and then have the desire to get off the streets. The day I joined the protest, I met about 30 people who still check up on me today. For the first time in my life, I have people who care enough about me to ask how my kids and I are. I didn't even really know anyone there, and I was greeted with love, respect, and most importantly, blankets and socks. The same people that are ignored daily that aren't given any kind of respect out there on the streets are my family, and I take great offense to the fact that we as a whole are constantly being harassed by the same people who swear to protect us. I hope that you as a human, not a mayor, realize the mistakes you have made by allowing the no camping and sit and lie ordinances to still be in effect. I'm no longer homeless because I got myself into treatment. To me, it is amazing that because I'm an addict, I now have housing. Yet hundreds of homeless, despite stereotypes, are not addicts and are therefore still stuck on the streets. I had to search daily until a few nights ago for a spot that I could go to with other people yet still not be seen by the police, or God forbid, people with houses who would then have to come to terms with the fact that not everyone is living like them. By these laws still being in effect, you are putting the lives of all 21-year-olds like me who are in transition from youth to adult shelters in jeopardy. I personally do not feel at all safe trying to find a place to sleep by myself, yet these ordinances make it absolutely impossible to rest with a group of people who would protect me and keep me safe. I just want to take a moment to thank all the protesters, young and old, homeless, houseless, or just a supporter of human rights. Thank you so much for helping me in my time of need. I have more respect for you than you will ever know. I love you all and vow to never give up on this issue. After all, we are just one paycheck from being homeless, even you, Mr. Potter. I was wondering, since I have 30 seconds left, if you could give me a response.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Please call the next.
Request of Jeremy Todd to address council regarding repeal of the sit-lie ordinance. Someone called and said he will not be making it.
Okay, call the next name.
811, request of Olivia Johnson to address council regarding people without homes.
Please state your name for the record and you have 3 minutes.
I'm Olivia Johnson. Professionally, I support the homeless community through my work at New Avenues for Youth and Outside In. I personally support the houseless community through my involvement with United Poor People. 3,000 youth sleep on the streets of downtown Portland. Overall, Portland is providing comprehensive services for the homeless youth community. Mayor Potter, as former executive director of New Avenues, I'm sure you're aware of the extensive funds being offered to organizations supporting youth. Outside and in New Avenues, two of the largest homeless youth service providers spend on average $3,800 per client served. Yet these funds are obviously insufficient, as only 160 out of 3,000 youth exited street life through homeless youth services in 2007. This leaves 2,840 youth still on the streets. These youth are offered a relatively high degree of services until they turn 21, at which point they are subjected to a whole new system. The houseless adult services are shameful in comparison. According to the BCDH budget from 2000-2008, adult service providers spent just $1,123 per client served. There are no safe places, no educational opportunities, and no job training opportunities. The shelters have extensive waiting lists. There's a several-year waiting list for Section 8 housing, and you gentlemen just chose to cut the adult homeless services budget by $15 million. People, whether young or old, need a safe place to sleep. With consistently full shelters and the sit, lie, and camping ordinances in effect, thousands of our fellow community members fight for a full night's rest. Sleep is an unquestionable, basic human right. Before envisioning any 10-year plan, we must confront the problem at hand. An immediate solution has been brought forth by the community on several occasions. A green zone, in case you have forgotten, is a public green space by day and a safe, legal, and sanitary campsite by night, located in the city center. Designating a green zone is a flexible, innovative, multi-purpose, and cost-effective solution to the immediate-term problems. I'm aware of how damaging sleep deprivation can be for my own mental state, and I know where I'm going to sleep every night. We live in a sick society where human beings are willing to sit back while their brothers and sisters are denied something as basic and essential as sleep. Congratulations on opening the 10-year planning committee to folks directly affected. But to do this while simultaneously criminalizing these folks through the sit and lie and camping ordinance is extremely contradictory. To actively and effectively participate in one's own community, they need sleep. Please exercise your political will and create a green zone. You can implement an immediate solution. Bodies need to rest peacefully to be productive. Commissioner Fish, are you willing to answer a question?
I'll do better than that. I'd like to actually meet with you, make an appointment to meet with you to talk about green zones in greater detail. And so outside of the constraints of this forum, I'd like to talk to you more. So we'll put you on the calendar, and I'd like to have you come in, and we'll talk about it.
Okay. Can I just share with the audience really quick that in 2006 you stated at the Housing Opportunity Candidate Forum that being homeless is not a crime and that you will never support any proposal which sacrifices the civil liberties of the homeless?
Stand by those words.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to everybody in the audience, comrades. Done great. Stick together. Love. Just keep it together.
Okay, that's sufficient. Thank you. The consent agenda, there will be no consent agenda. We don't have a majority, nor emergency items heard. Please read the 9:30 time certain.
Item 812, approve the first amendment to the Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal Plan to expand boundaries by 140.05 acres, increase maximum indebtedness by $170 million, and extend expiration date to June 30, 2020.
This morning, the council will be considering the first reading of five ordinances to amend four of our community's urban renewal area plans. These amendments will serve to close down our two older urban renewal areas, South Park Blocks and Downtown Waterfront, and expand two other districts, the Lentz Town Center and the River District. There will be no vote today because by state law, this is a non-emergency ordinance and the vote is scheduled for next Wednesday, June 25th. We're going to start with item 812. And to do that, I'm asking the Portland Development Commission Chair Mark Rosenbaum, County Commissioner Jeff Kogan to come forward.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish. Good to see you today.
Morning.
On this introductory conversation respecting the amendment of the urban renewal areas, I'm joined today by Commissioner Jeff Kogan from Multnomah County, who will have some specific comments to make as well as it relates to the impact that these amendments will have on the county and its budget and the cooperative work we've had together. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank Commissioner Saltzman for his substantial work on the Urban Renewal Advisory Group. That group met over a period of a year, many meetings with substantial community members to evaluate what amendment to the downtown districts was appropriate, and resulted in four of the five amendments that you see coming before you today. You'll have amendments that you'll be addressing that relate not only to the downtown area that I just mentioned, but also to the Lentz area. It's the PDC's strong desire and direction that our staff take a look not just at the downtown area, but the east side as well, and that results in the amendment that you see here and the discussion you'll have in depth about what we think is possible on the east side of the river to complement what is going downtown. I want to emphasize that the work that you see is not just the work of PDC staff, but substantial outreach to the community, including all neighborhood associations impacted by the amendments and business associations represented in the area, both large and small. We also stayed informed, and as a result of this process, have new partnership arrangements which have been made with both Portland Public Schools and Multnomah County. We think that's in the best interest of the community as it relates to our work.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Saltzman and Fish. My name is Jeff Kogan, I'm Multnomah County Commissioner, and as Chair Rosenbaum said, I was the Multnomah County representative on the Urban Renewal Advisory Group. Last month, Multnomah County Board was presented with the plan amendments that are before you today. And thanks to the new spirit of partnership and the cooperative relationship and good leadership at PDC, I'm happy to say that that briefing lacked the drama of previous Multnomah County PDC interactions, and Multnomah County unanimously voted to support all of the amendments that are before you today. Through my participation as a representative on the Urban Renewal Advisory Group, Multnomah already had an opportunity to impart its perspective on the front end of this work, which avoided intergovernmental heartburn on the back end. But more importantly, it resulted in the proposed plan amendments that reflect the community's, but broader community's priorities while fighting blight in a manner that is appropriate to the challenges we face today in the 21st century. Our participation in the West Side Study Group went so well that Multnomah County and PDC signed a cooperative agreement that was referenced by Chair Rosenbaum, so that from this point forward, when groups are formed to consider the formation or expansion of an urban renewal area, Multnomah County and as well Portland Public Schools and other partners I'm looking forward to in the future will have a seat at the table to participate in those conversations to make sure that the broader impacts on other jurisdictions as well as the community as a whole are considered as these decisions are being formed. Together, these agreements, I believe, mark the beginning of a more evolved, positive relationship between Portland Development Commission, the City of Portland, and your jurisdictional partners. I thank you and applaud you for this partnership and would encourage you to support the amendments that are before you today. Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Mayor, may I just make one comment?
Yes.
I just want to compliment Commissioner Kogan, who is actually my county commissioner, for framing this issue of the impact of decisions we make with respect to urban renewal districts on other jurisdictions. As a candidate, I had a chance to sit down with you, Jeff, and you educated me, or as my father would say, edumacated me, about the impact, the 26 cents on the dollar in terms of mature districts. And as we know, the city has been having structural surpluses of late, and the county's been experiencing structural deficits.
Indeed.
And that is particularly important to me because as the new housing commissioner, I'm charged with leading the 10-year plan to end homelessness. We have the money to do our end, which is bricks and mortar. You're experiencing deficits, which puts at risk your obligation to provide the services. I thank you for making the connection for all of us between the decisions we make at urban renewal districts and the impact on other jurisdictions. And I think the cooperative agreement is a really positive first step in making sure that everybody who's affected by our decisions at the table. So I compliment you for your work on that.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish.
The slide which you see before you outlines the nature of the amendments which are before you and also discusses prior urban renewal areas that have been in existence in relation to PDC. You'll see that over the last number of years, PDC has completed six urban renewal areas which have been retired. and two of the 11 districts that PDC oversees right now, we will issue our last indebtedness in 2008 based on the amendments in front of you. And one, the airport URA is already at maximum indebtedness, and no additional debt will be incurred as it relates to those districts. I think it's important to understand from my perspective as we reach our 50th anniversary that PDC has served as a very important source of capital to make the infrastructure and development opportunities in this city possible and to keep the city strong. And going forward today, you are looking at another opportunity of providing PDC with the tools to invest in our future and make significant improvements in terms of our job readiness, in terms of our development opportunities, and safety for the city, and housing, and I believe it's a very important step. Let's begin with the first urban renewal area and a discussion of the Lentz Amendment, and we'll start there. The PDC board's concern that as we watched more and more of the city's population move further out into the east side in order to find lower cost of living, that part of our community have access to the tools that PDC makes available. And accordingly, PDC staff for the last year has been meeting with the neighborhood associations, business associations, and doing an evaluation of the opportunity which exists to help small business and housing opportunities on the east side of the river. The first amendment that you'll be looking for, looking at thereabouts, suggests the enlargement of the Lentz urban renewal area from around 70th and Foster down to around 50th with some additional activity at 122nd. I think this will make a profound difference in that area. Other thing I'd like to emphasize is that the committee that was involved in this wanted to make certain that with the expansion, the PDC didn't lose sight of their desire to see a Lentz Town Center created. That is clearly the focus of PDC's effort. We're not going to move away from that, but we do think expanding the territory provides resources to a broader range of folks as well. So with that brief introduction, I'll turn it over to Kevin Cronin and Bob Alexander for a detailed run-through.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Bob Alexander, Special Projects at PDC, and I'm joined today by Kevin Cronin, who is the project manager for the Lentz Amendment. The Urban Renewal Advisory Committee that advised the Lentz Group recommended the following items. Extend the last date to issue debt from 2015 to 2020. They would also recommend increasing by $170 million to $245 million the total maximum indebtedness. That would extend the last date in which debt would be paid off to 2026. And also, which you'll see in a moment, increase the acreage by approximately 140 acres. Which would go from 2707 up to 2847. These particular amendments were again recommended by a subcommittee to the Lentz Advisory Commission and passed on to our commission and for your consideration today. Kevin Cronin will now detail some of those details of the amendment expansion.
So thanks, Bob. So Bob just provided us a financial picture. This is kind of the geographic look of the Lentz URA as well as the expansion areas. The first one that just popped up is the Foster Corridor. This is just the commercial corridor with a couple of multifamily properties on either side of the commercial corridor. It runs from about 50th all the way down to the existing boundary at 79th. There is just starting to happen, some things starting to happen in the Foster Corridor. If you've driven down there recently, some new businesses are opening up. PDC wants to help continue more of those businesses locate there. Out of all the things that I've heard, phone calls that I've gotten at my desk, this is the one that I get the most in terms of folks that are really interested in seeing what's going on there. Folks that want storefront grants, want business loans, those types of things. So it's really exciting. It's a really positive thing. The next area that I want to bring up is a couple of the key intersections that we looked at as far as opportunity sites. There seems to be continued blight, not along the Foster Corridor, but at these major intersections. And the one that just popped up is the intersection of Powell and 122nd. There's lots of opportunity sites out there. The next one, generally speaking, is the one at the 122nd and Foster, additional opportunity sites and additional blight that we can address. In addition to that area, we have Allisalt Middle School. We would do a project consistent with the school's family housing initiative, and as well as Leech Botanical Gardens. They just completed a master plan, and they've asked for our assistance. We're also asking for deletion of right-of-way along 205. That 65 acres or so would go back into the general citywide kitty for the City Council and PDC to use for other urban renewal areas. I don't want us to lose sight of the existing RA as we move forward. That was something we heard loud and clear from our URAC as well as the subcommittee. So the existing town center area is right down here, 205, 92nd and Foster, and then the Frui land site. That is another key area that Chair Rosenbaum had just mentioned. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward here in the presentation. Going from sort of the macro level down to the micro level, looking at the town center, I just wanted to kind of brief you real quickly on some of the acquisition activity that we've had since 1998. Assyria Northwest, right here, we've just completed phase one. I'll talk about a little bit more about that in the next slide. And then phase two, and then the Lensalita League, former Lensalita League site, Southeast 92nd Herald. I'll talk about a little bit more about that as well. And then I have some good news to report. We just closed on the 92nd Avenue Gentlemen's Club, which is right here, just across from the new Copper Penny. And then, as you know, the Max Green Line is under construction, and I will talk a little bit about that as well. So we've over the last 10 years, we've acquired these properties, and now we're positioned to actually package them and RFP them and start to redevelop them. So we're right on the cusp of trying to get something underway in addition to Shore Northwest. So Shore Northwest, you can see from this photo that we have the existing phase one. There is retail down below. We're just starting to see those spaces filled up. In fact, the cafe is opening this week. And then Shore Northwest moved their headquarters, and they're about roughly, I think, 35 jobs to that location. And then phase two is this graphic down here with the circle around it. We'd like to get that under construction here shortly. This is an example of the type of redevelopment we'd like to see in the town center and continue to move forward with those other properties that I just mentioned. Shore Northwest and the it really demonstrates that the Lentz Town Center is open for business. I mentioned the Green Line, Max I-205 Max Green Line. In addition to the Lentz Town Center that we just looked at, there are three other station areas, Southeast Powell, Southeast Holgate, as well as Southeast Vauxbel. We plan on providing planning and redevelopment assistance and making sure that some of these station areas get off the ground. So with additional funds, we can make that happen. And in addition, I think really for the Green Line to work, I think TriMet really supports PDC because TriMet really needs PDC to be successful in order for the light rail stations to work, because our job is to make the places around those station areas. TriMet obviously is responsible for getting that increase in ridership to make it work. Freeway land, I mentioned that before. This is all about jobs, jobs, jobs. This is the biggest key site that we have, not only in Lentz, but also in the city, and we would like to work with the current property owners and make something happen at this site. We have a current property ownership that is willing to listen to the city. The city is working on a vision for that area, and we'd like to come back at some point to talk to the council about that. But in the meantime, we are working directly with the property owners and trying to make something happen for that site. With the additional funds, we can provide public infrastructure assistance, gap financing, and economic development assistance to make something happen. And then the sort of the last project is more of sort of a housing type project, but it's also going to be mixed income, mixed use. As I mentioned, it's the former Little League site, which is located to Lentz Park. I believe that's under construction right now or about to go to construction. We have just requested a zone change from the Bureau of Development Services, and with that zone change, we would like to issue an RFQ to get a developer on board and work with that developer. The problem is we don't have additional resources to offer any additional carrots other than the land to make that site work. So with the amendment, we can actually get something off the ground there, and we're very, very excited about that. So I am going to get out of this PowerPoint show temporarily so we can go to a video that was produced by PDC, and it has a couple of our local stars from the Lentz Town Center area.
And behind us is a West Phase 1. It's one of the major projects that have just started happening here in the Lenstown Center. And what it represents is the type of commercial development that we're really anxious to bring to Lens. It's a high-quality building, has lots of space for retail and offices upstairs. It's also been really successful in bringing new jobs to Lens.
One of the nice features about this building is the streetscape. It really represents the future we want to see in Foster, bringing it to be more pedestrian accessible, bringing in more businesses for neighbors. Neighborhood businesses will be going in here shortly, and we hope that will be the future for the rest of the Foster corridor. This is what you see on Southeast Ramona Street, which is actually an entrance to a light rail station, part of the TriMet I-205 Green Line. It's one of four stations in Lentz, and perhaps one of the most important, because this is the Lentz Town Center Foster Road Station.
And what we have here is where it leads from the light rail station to where the sidewalk ends, and then has a 20 to 30 foot stretch to connect up to the other side of the sidewalk. And it is not ADA compliant.
There is no plans currently for investment on Ramona Street. And it's very important that we really consider improvements here, as you can see how deficient this street is.
What the plan amendment will do is bring resources to this area that will allow us to redevelop this street and really focus on transit-oriented development and improving the quality of the actual gateway to Lentz and the view that most people will see from the light rail platform.
We've been here in this studio, in this building on Southeast 67th since 2000. We've become a center in our local community for arts performances, rehearsals, yoga classes. With the coming of the Foster Urban Renewal Area into this part, it's going to help us because right now we're thinking of expanding our space. We're way too small for what we do. And we have the ability to move further to the sidewalk, which would be nicer for the neighborhood as well, and more of a storefront feeling, and as well as expanding our space so that we can have more audience and the dancers could actually have a dressing room.
So going back to the presentation, I would like to turn it back to Bob Alexander, please.
So those current and future projects, which you've just seen, are reflected in the TIF resources required as a result of this amendment, approximately $170 million increase. The pie chart before you reflects those priorities divided into transportation, redevelopment, housing, and economic development industrial emphasis. Within transportation, we just heard about the Foster Road area. Within redevelopment, certainly the Lentz Town Center redevelopment itself and revitalization is a key element. Within the industrial economic development category, freeway land is a critical project. Within housing, we will continue to do home buyer programs and other important programs related to affordable housing. This list was one that was developed through a great deal of neighborhood input, as well as input from other taxing jurisdictions. And it represents, again, approximately $170 million total. This, however, does have impacts to the other taxing jurisdictions. The following represents what is the present value impact of this increase in maximum indebtedness during the 11 years from 2014 to 2025. The taxing jurisdictions have been consulted as part of this process. Included in your packets are letters of support from Multnomah County ESD, the Port of Portland, David Douglas School District, and you heard earlier from Commissioner Kogan about Multnomah County's support. And there's also a cooperative agreement with Portland Public Schools. I'd like to now turn this over to some invited testimony.
Mayor, before we do that, can I ask a question?
Yes.
I want to go back to the chart that has the benefits explained and how the $170 million is
carried
out. And just ask a general question. I see that 25% of this pie chart is dedicated to housing. How are we doing overall in terms of meeting the 30% set aside goal?
We are doing well with that. This is actually project expense only, and if you were to include in the staffing, we're about 31% of our total effort in terms of the TIF set aside.
I wanted to just ask a question, too, on that pie chart about the 18% for materials, services, bond issuance. What is that? Sounds like a lot for...
Well, again, that is part of the staffing issue. We do have our folks from finance here who could respond to that specifically.
Yeah. Are you telling me $32 million is involved in the staffing of the LEMS URA?
Yeah, it's as I understand it.
We'll have Tony respond to that.
Thanks, Tony.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Tony Barnes, Principal Budget Analyst, PDC. The amount for, it's labeled as bond proceeds or
materials and
services, includes all staffing and administrative costs in implementing all projects and programs associated with this amendment, and any bond issuance costs are included in there.
Does that include service-related, like planning, design, consulting services, or is this all internal PVC?
It's all internal cost estimates at this point.
How do you then prorate the cost of this effort? Is it based on the total amount of the TIF money available, or is there some other formula you use to be able to include the cost of the Portland Development Commission?
I don't have the specific answer to the proration in this particular model. Normally, we take an estimate of total bond proceeds, roughly between 15% to 20% over the life, looking at the future of the district, that would go towards overall administration of projects and programs in the district.
Materials and services aren't normally personnel. Are you computing personnel into this too?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Is this broken down in our notebooks, or can we get a breakdown of this before next Wednesday? Of this slice of
Yes, it is broken down in your notebook.
It is.
Okay. Yes.
Further questions? Thank you, folks. We'll call up the invited speakers, Cora Potter, Jess Leventhal, and Nancy Chapin.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Nancy Chapin, the president of the Foster Area Business Association, and I also, of course, have a business on Foster Road. I'm testifying in favor of the Lentz Urban Renewal District Expansion Amendment west on Foster Road, as well as the other expansion proposals included. This important project to assist Foster Road, its businesses, its community with having the opportunity to do storefront improvements, to take some of those buildings that have been there a long time, some of which have even been empty longer than they should have been, and assist new owners in being able to move forward on the kind of investment that needs to be made in some of them, including earthquake improvements and so forth, has the potential to be very important. I mean, Foster Road is the road into Lentz, the road out of Lentz, the road through Lentz, and some great things have been happening in Lentz in this 9 years. I personally think that the things have happened when I look back at the fact that federal dollars have been coming into Northeast Portland for 43 years through the Model Cities program. That was the first federal dollars that came in. And the fact that they're just now moving into, you know, really making some tremendous project in that area, I think that the Urban Renewal Advisory Committee and the folks from PDC and the community has done amazing things in this 9 years of the Lentz Urban Renewal District. So I just want to give my the Foster Board, of course, has definitely approved my testimony here today, and is delighted to have this opportunity to improve our community by having the expansion of the Urban Renewal District. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish. My name is Jess Laventhal. I represent the Lentz Neighborhood Association. I also serve as the Neighborhood Association delegate to the Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal Area Committee. And I'm here to express my support of and the neighborhood's support of this expansion. When we first found out about the PDC's plans to consider this expansion, we had some questions. After all, this is called the Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal Area, and the town center, roughly defined, is 92nd and Foster. However, looking at the three key questions that we were asked, should the current expiration date be extended? Should the URA boundary be expanded and where? And should maximum indebtedness be increased to complete existing projects in the URA plan and to continue funding existing programs and consider new projects identified by the community? The answer to these three questions from the neighborhood astoundingly was yes, yes, and yes. And here's why. On the Urban Renewal Committee, we were looking at a budget of essentially closing down what was 10 years of effort for urban renewal. Yet the results, many neighbors felt, were marginal. We've seen some new businesses come to the neighborhood, but we've also seen some stalling over the years. And now we think that things are just kicking into gear, especially with the coming of light rail, with new businesses moving to the neighborhood. And again, we still have one of the last major centers of job creation in the city, the freeway lands. By this expansion, we are increasing opportunity for the whole neighborhood to improve economically and socially as well. I think we have a lot of opportunities for new homeowners, for new businesses, and better options for transit-oriented development in what's going to become a much more challenging environment in the future. So looking at a visionary perspective, this urban renewal expansion really is a win-win situation for Lentz. Thank you.
I'm Cora Potter, and I'm the chair of the Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal Advisory Committee, no relation to the mayor. So
That's probably good.
I want to first thank the City Council and the Portland Development Commission for the opportunity to participate in this process and for the opportunity to speak today. My friend Mark asked me the other day at the community forum for the Portland plan how I'm able to remain so positive about the potential for change in outer southeast Portland. And one of the reasons is my experience during the plan amendment process for our urban renewal area. It's been more than a year since we started talking about the potential for expansion of the URA in a routine URAC budget committee meeting. Since then, I've watched the community move from a position of apprehension to one of excitement. In the last few months, talking with citizens across the city, I've rarely, if ever, heard from someone that thinks bringing significant resources to the area to greatly improve the built environment is a bad idea. Resistance from other taxing jurisdictions failed to materialize, and instead I was pleasantly surprised by the positive feedback and encouragement we received. The whole experience has led me to believe that there is great support at all levels for completing, improving, and expanding original vision for the Lentz Town Center and adjacent neighborhoods. And I really feel that what this plan amendment represents is a good move towards a positive parity of investment in the city in outer southeast Portland. This is an area where the populations are increasingly becoming more minority, more low-income populations, a lot of low English proficiency populations. And we really need to focus on making sure that as the population grows, we're making a good place for them to live. So approving this amendment means that we're greatly improving the odds that one day outer southeast Portland will be a place where our elders can stroll arm in arm along a grand boulevard on Foster Road through a vibrant business district, where a worker can get on the MAX and two stops later arrive at a bustling center of commerce and distribution, then ride the train back to the park to meet their family at a Little League game. It'll be a place where a traveler can stay in a small boutique hotel and ride the streetcar to the Hawthorne District one day and a bicycle to Selwood the next. Achieving the goals in this URA plan is an essential part of creating the city of Portland that we all would like to see citywide. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Mayor, may I just make one comment?
Yes.
I'm the new guy here, so I just want to say that the video component of our presentation was terrific. And, you know, the PowerPoints have gotten very sophisticated here. The video is a great asset, and I assume you both now have agents and you're looking at the next you're looking at the next career move. But I really appreciate that, and I have to do a council work session in October on our city's housing policy, and I'm going to take a page out of what you've done because I think it's hugely effective. So thank you.
Please do, and we invite you to come out to the Lentz neighborhood.
Love to take the tour with you, and great to see you, Nancy.
Thanks. And on September 13th is Fun on Foster, so especially put that on your calendars.
Thank you, folks. How many folks are signed up to testify on this particular issue?
We have four more people signed up.
Okay, please call them forward.
Is there a Kim? Didn't leave a last name.
Mayor?
Okay. Yes. Kim, you can come on up. Beverly, I believe it's Palate. And Robert Butler. Anywhere.
Did you read?
It was Kim, Robert Beverly Butler? Palate, and Robert Butler.
I do not
about
see
Jim Dryden. Oh, here comes Robert Butler. Is that
okay?
He's coming. Oh, sorry.
Whoops. You'll be next, Mr. Butler. Folks, please state your name when you speak. You each have 3 minutes.
My name is Beverly Palate. I live here in Portland, Oregon, and I'm very concerned. I'm a Roman Catholic. I go to St. Michael's, and I'm very concerned about Portland. You know, I see a lot of homeless people on the streets all the time, and it really depresses me because, you know, they're young, you know, and I feel like they can do better than that. I mean, a lot of them out there, they can work. And, you know, I have compassion for them. And I know it's hard times, but I feel...
Ma'am, is this testimony in regards to the Lentz Urban Renewal Area expansion?
Well, that too.
Well, could, that's what you're to testify to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I think that in the Lentz that we're having here, I think it's wonderful. I think we're making a lot of good progress. And I think we need a lot more improvement toward that, too. And I think with the support of our community and, you know, things like that, I think we can get a good outlook on things. That's my testimony.
Thank you. Please.
I don't know what this is.
Please state your name.
My name is Kim.
Could you state your last name, please?
Kim is a last name.
Okay, could you state your first name?
Hi.
Okay, you have to speak closer to the microphone so that you can be heard.
My name is Hi.
Okay, and you wanted to speak to us about Lentz?
Oh, yes.
Okay, please go ahead. You have 3 minutes.
Some of my neighborhood have some big trees and, you know, really making a crops mess. And 365 days falling down the leaves really mess it up with trees. I like to clean it up with those things. But it's sometimes the beautiful trees, you know, it's a nice to the neighborhood, but some trees are really taking up the neighborhood. So, and then also, my house nearby, three houses by across the street have stores. And people, customers go in there, buy some candies and cans and drink. Just threw them out of those trees. It's just, you know, I keep picking it up to the neighborhood, throwing the streets. I like to those kind of stuff.
Thank you.
Please. My name is Jim Dryden. I lived on 122nd near Foster for 30-some years. and I've been discouraged with the bad appearance of our Foster Street. So I was hoping to reach businessmen because we can do what we want on the town center and new buildings, but businessmen need to sharpen up the appearance of their businesses, and it would be a great benefit to them and to all of us. Not knowing if I would have an opportunity to leave something, I took about a dozen pictures in the last week to leave with somebody, showing what I mean about the junky appearance of existing business. We can't expect them to move, but I hope we can see for their sake and ours, they spruce up the appearances, because no matter what we do at the approach to the Max and to 92nd and Foster, the heavy concentration of body shops, ironworks, and things that have a legitimate reason to be there need some perking up. And the one example, and with this I'll finish, is the power station at about maybe 105th. It's one of the few in the city that have never been asked to put any hedges. It's just ugly electrical. And so it's a lot up to us as individuals, business owners, and residents to straighten up our own places and then have the government help with building and attracting jobs. So that's what I had to offer.
Thank you, sir.
The last two are Robert Butler and Mark White.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck. Go ahead, Mark.
Good afternoon. My name is Mark White. I'm a resident of Powellhurst-Gilbert Neighborhood Association. I'm here to offer my approval of the expansion further into Powellhurst-Gilbert. I'd also like to encourage the City Council to work with the PDC to further expand the urban renewal area to the other side of 122nd. That corridor has seen tremendous growth in the last several years. In fact, it's reached its infill expectation for 2015 last year in 2007. Population has grown 25% between 1990 and 2000, and the same growth is expected between 2000 and 2010, perhaps a little bit more. And while there has been a lot of development, there's still quite a bit of opportunity there. The boulevard is quite large. There's plenty of room for mixed-use development that would include both commercial and residences. There is effectively no commercial development in that area between Holgate and Foster. And currently, the urban renewal area already includes the western side of 122nd. There's tremendous opportunity. The area is anchored on all sides by natural resources. It has Leech Botanical Garden to the south. It has Powell Butte to the east. It has Zenger Farms and Bigger's Tick to the west. And it also has Springwater Corridor going right through the middle of it. So the potential of anchoring all of that together between the natural resources and the extremely viable opportunities for development, I think, are excellent. I'd also like to note that the Neighborhood Association in recent months had PSU students come in to do a study of the 122nd corridor and voted about 4-1 in favor of mixed-use development over additional multifamily development. So I'd strongly encourage you to vote in favor of this amendment, but I'd also like you to really think about the needs of that area beyond 205, beyond 92nd, to where a tremendous amount of growth is going, but a lot less attention. So I think it's possible to have not only the Lentztown Center development, but also another business district on 122nd. Thank you.
I'll give you $100 the rest of your time.
No? No.
I'm Robert Butler, 824 Southwest 18th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. I'm talking about ordinance or item 612. I'd like to say that this also applies to the other ordinances, most of my comments. I'm saving you time. The same general comments. First of all, this strikes me as the largest single discretionary decision to borrow money in the history, discretionary, in the history of our city. The largest in the history of our city, discretionary. Might be wrong, I think it is. $170 million represents 40% of this of the total package. 40% of the total package is a big number. I'm looking for the analysis that says year by year, these are the cash flows, these are the expenditures, these are the returns, the high end, the low end risks, how we can compare alternatives, and do a analysis equivalent to maybe a $4 million expenditure instead of a $400 million. Because I don't see the analysis here for even a $4 million expenditure. I don't see one spreadsheet over the life of the project. Secondly, the effect on education. It's interesting that the Multnomah County superintendent said all four ordinances would not fiscally impact his kids. It's in your attachment. Amazing that he would say that. School District of Portland did something different. They said, you know we're going to take money from our kids today, tomorrow, for decades. We know that. We know the $400 million, additional $100 million of that represents education for students in Burns, Coos Bay, clear across the state. We are taking their money. We know that. We know we're compromising our own kids' education tomorrow, the next day, for decades to come. We know that, and we support it. I ask you, which is worse, supporting it or not even knowing what you're doing? I'm really upset that you're compromising our kids today, my kids, their kids, with this kind of a philosophy, this kind of an expenditure. I don't think you can steal from our kids' education, and you shouldn't. Thirdly, these borrowed funds, they're coming from tax dollars that are used for public safety, streets, improvements. When you borrow from our public safety and our street improvements, you're creating blight. So you're creating blight and cross in the process of trying to help blight. And I think that's a mistake. I urge you to look at Senate Bill 412, 2005 session, how we separate taxes for kids from losing their education. So thank you for listening. This is a big, very big item. 40% of the city council is gone. I think we deserve more of a quorum to deliberate this. Thank you, and appreciate your good fortune, your good luck, and your hard work.
Is that signed up?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. There's some questions for staff. Could the staff please come back? Commissioner Fish?
Thank you, Mayor. I just want the public to see that this is the size of this, the phone book size of our briefing on this issue. So Commissioner Saltzman and I could use some guidance as to where in this compilation of documents is the breakdown for that pie chart, just so we can follow that. And
that's in Exhibit B under the Planning Commission summary. In one location on page 9. It's also located in the main part of the report.
Are you speaking all within the LINTS URA
right.
tab?
Just
in the LINTS, yeah.
Right.
There's an exhibit B.
Yeah,
if you
sure
could just show us, yeah. We're...
We're in that exhibit for the LINTS, is it?
Yeah, we wanted a breakdown of this line item. Okay. Can you get it?
We can provide that for you.
Okay.
So I just for the record, and we appreciate you pointing that page out, Commissioner Saltzman and I would appreciate between now and next Wednesday if we could just get a more detailed breakdown of those numbers so that we can look at them, and if we have any questions, could bring those to your attention.
Yes.
Why don't you do that for all the council offices?
We will.
Great. Good.
I have a couple of other questions, and one is just a general comment. I know that a principal driver of what we're doing here with the LINTS Urban Renewal District is to create jobs, and the focus is on family wage jobs. We know today that it takes about $85,000 of family income to afford the median price home in our community. So, and therein lies one of our biggest challenges in terms of housing affordability. Could someone just briefly address the question of how have we done on job creation up to this point and what the forecast is going forward under these amendments?
Some research, yeah.
Okay.
We had an evaluation done from 1998 through 06-07, and I have a number. If you don't have that off the top of my head, I need to thumb through this phone book. So direct assistance to small businesses has led to over 183 jobs being created or retained since 1998.
183 jobs?
That's correct.
And those would be either jobs that were created or retained?
That's correct.
And would those jobs qualify under the general heading of family wage jobs that we're talking about, $18 to $22, $25 with benefits?
Based on my understanding of the quality jobs program, yes. They take an average of the various jobs of those businesses they work with, and it's a living wage. I don't know the specifics of how they calculate that. We can get that information, but it's my understanding that, yes, it's a living wage.
And then looking forward, have you done some forecasts of what you anticipate these amendments would generate in terms of future activity, building in some assumptions about what happens with freeway lands?
Historically, we have not done projections for job growth. We leave that piece to other city agencies. The Bureau of Planning has various economic information and policy information, so we sort of leave that to them to project. Now, to a specific that's like a citywide number. As far as specifics to Lentz, we still don't have a projected number of the number of jobs that we're expected to create.
I would just say that from my point of view, since the we hear frequently the argument that we should be focused on economic development and job creation as a core function in our urban rural districts, I think it would be helpful to me and I probably my colleagues just to be able to quantify that data as much as possible. I think it's also, to the extent there's a good news component, it's something we should be sharing with the public.
Commissioner Fish, if I may, I believe in the Lentz Town Center, the Johnson Creek industrial area, they estimated 500 jobs if that particular project was redeveloped in the freeway land area. So
yeah,
that was one estimated number.
Yeah, we look at it a project-by-project basis, but we don't do it for the whole ERA because of a number of different variables involved in trying to put together a number. When we put together a number, we want to be confident about that number, even if we have to put a lot of assumptions behind it. So historically, PDC has stayed away from trying to do that. But so that's why we try to look at the specifics of how many jobs you want to create at X, Y, and Z sites.
You know, I can take this issue up when I have my regular meetings with the executive director, just because, again, I'm on a learning curve like this, so I'm trying to get a handle on this. The other thing I just wanted to ask you with respect to freeway lands, because obviously with the prospect of having the land where the post office is currently sited, the Conway area development, the area around the convention center, the Rose Quarter, and freeway land, we have these extraordinary opportunities. And is there a possibility that with the contemplated development of freeway lands, there would be some combination of industrial and park there, or is the current concept to be purely industrial?
Both those concepts are on the table right now. We are internally looking at freeway lands right now amongst all the bureaus and trying to make freeway lands work for the entire community. So one concept is to redevelop it as an eco-industrial park. Another concept is to do both, try to have a recreation component as well as having some industrial there. All those issues are on the table right now, and we're trying to get through that issue.
Thank you.
It's my understanding that that the freeway lands, actually only about two-thirds of the property could be used for construction, that the rest is in the Johnson Creek.